Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Wednesday, May the 13th, 2026. 5:13:26, 12 and a half coming up on 13 minutes past the hour. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Now, let me just tell you a little bit of what goes on during the break here. You know, the little 10-12 minute break we had there. So I went outside the room for a second, you know, stretch your legs, walk around for a second, came back in and decided I would fill up my cup here because I had a 2 liter of diet soda in the studio. So I was bringing it over to the desk that I had everything on, and I knocked it over. Now, you would think that that would be a tip to me to not open this bottle of soda immediately, because I have knocked it over now, and the pressure has probably built up. But no, I decide I'm just going to open this so I can get the soda into the cup here where the ice is, so it can start chilling the soda. So I open up the top of the 2 liter, and I spray pop all over myself. I spray pop all over the table, and I spray pop all over this little piece of paper I had laying on the desk, which had some notes on it about the Bravo competition and the Bobby Floyd event tonight over at Harding. So now everything is wet in the studio. And then I had to get the napkins out. Pastor Craig always made fun of the napkins in the studio. We have the unused McDonald's napkins in the studio. I had to get the napkins out and start wiping everything down here. So now the paper's wet. I'm a little wet. The napkins are wet. But I did finish filling up the soda. So that's where we are. A quarter after the hour. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. And again, I did want to mention, free Bobby Floyd concert, Marion's only Grammy winner, tonight 6 to 7 over at Harding, followed by the Stardusters and the band at 7 p.m., and then tomorrow night behind Bucci's on Center Street, it's the Bravo competition, some great singers being showcased there, 7 to 9 p.m., so these are events I think you don't want to miss if you like homegrown, good, solid talent. Okay, 740-383-9944. Also, if anybody has anything they'd like to say in regard to City Council as of late, we've had a day or two, to sit and think about the new 4th Ward City Council person, Nathan Stevenson, age 29. We'll see how it turns out. Do you think that mentioning religion and politics is a problem? Now, I think we all feel that you probably should not let your religion dictate your politics, but is it a problem to mention your faith? I think we know more or less what every politician's faith is. But I don't know that it dictates all their decisions. So, you know, that's kind of a touchy one. I like the idea that he's 29. I know that we're not supposed to care about age, but clearly we do. We talk about politicians being too old. We talk about the only people who want to run for office being people over a certain age. I like the fact that Nathan's 29. I think he'll be the only person on council under the age of 30. I think that's a good start. You never know how it will all shake out. Okay, what else do we got to talk about here? Well, oh, we talked yesterday about a lot of businesses. And of course, it's always fun to talk about these. People like to talk about these, you know, in private conversations. We got the Culver's. making some progress out in front of Meijer on Route 95. We've got the Starbucks out here on Delaware Avenue making some progress. We've got Goodwill, that huge building where Hills used to be out here on Delaware Avenue. They're making some progress. We've got, what else do we got? Oh, possibly, well, we know the gas station is going to be in front of the Kroger on Route 95. We haven't seen any progress on that yet, but they're supposed to be open in the fall, so I guess we'll see how that all shakes out. And we've got all those new restaurants downtown. Wits and why can I never remember the name of this place? It always has to be brought up to me. You know, there's three new places there in that little block area. It's on the corner there of Main and Church, where it's right across from Founders Park. So you've got Wits, and then you've got the place that serves the hummus and things of that nature. And then I think the place that is not open yet, but they had a food truck there last week that I think that sold out. I think I saw that somewhere. Let me check here again and see what the name of that place was. Okay, hold on a second. Okay, well, the place that serves the hummus, that's called Laziz Grill. Laziz Grill. And then the other place is Oxbees. Oxbees. Now, Oxbees is not open yet, but they've had a food truck there. And Laziz, Oxbees and Laziz and Wits in the middle, new little hub of commerce food there on the corner of Church and Main. Has anybody been to any of these places? Oh, and yesterday we had one of our friends call in and say that they had heard of a possible Circle K coming to the corner of Polane Road and 309. Has anybody heard anything about that? So the phone lines are open if you have any information, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you have any information on any of these business comings and goings? I just got Oxbees again. I don't know why I cannot remember that. I'm going to have to write that down on my wet piece of paper here that my soda now soaks. But I don't know if anybody's eaten in Laziz or had the food truck with Oxbees. I haven't even been to Witch yet to see what the frozen custard is like. But if you have any information on any of these things or want to share anything, feel free this morning. We're just open phone lines here or any of these musical events. 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm just lovely, of course. I have a suggestion. I got one of those flyer papers or the little packet or little booklets, I guess. And in it, Marion Convention and Business Bureau had a whole list of things that's going to take place around 4th of July, and it's kind of in regard to it being 250 years. I'd like for you to contact them and get more information, and maybe put it on the air.
I'll do that. You know what's interesting? I was mentioning this the other day, and I'm not saying it's through any fault of theirs or anybody else's, but I know there were committees that were formed, I think it was late last year or early this year, and I know a lot of preparation has went into things, but here we are, less than 2 months away, and I don't think the general public has a real grasp on anything that's going on.
Yeah, on that, one of the things that I noticed was, or one of the things that stuck in my head, was whatever day it is, there's going to be a wreath laying at Harding Memorial and so forth. But like for a solid week, it seems like that there was something going on. But I if you could just maybe call them and get more information, or maybe they'll even come on.
Yes, yes.
Talk about it.
That's a good idea. So what do you make of all the business comings and goings here in Marion?
Well, you know, it's kind of like the place where out there across from Chase Bank. Boy, I don't know. I'd be awful skeptical putting a business in there. And then also where Family Dollar was on the corner of Barks Anyway, you know, the one that is across the blocks where you can't get over to...
Oh, yes. Double Avenue there.
That was just a sin. I still do not understand those things. Well, they're getting most of them knocked down, so it won't be long, you know, until they won't be there anymore. And everybody blames everybody else. Like, well, that was the state, or that was this. I can't imagine Wendy's and Arby's not really throwing a fit, because without a doubt, it did something to their business. I mean, if I'm going over there, I know I have to come from the north, and then I'm just going to hit Burger King and McDonald's. Then I have, or come from the south, and then I can hit, you know, whatever. But I can't imagine that guy being able, whoever owns it, be able to rent that place. So it'll probably just sit there and fall down. And I remember in the day when they first opened, it was Robert Hall's.
Well, you know, it's interesting, those things out there on that corner of Delaware Avenue and Barks Road. I was told, and you know, this is just chalk this up to the rumor mill, but that Chipotle wanted to open up another location on Delaware Avenue, and that's why that spot on the very corner of Barks and Delaware Avenue, where the gas station, the BP, used to be, was being cleared, was so Chipotle could go there. And when they realized that these things had come in the meantime, they realized that might not have been a good idea.
I still don't know the purpose of those, because I don't know, for as much traffic as on that corner, that there's that many accidents. Maybe there is. I mean, I don't be over there all the time, knows. But but I don't know how that guy will ever rent that place when you know that. And that's the reason Family Dollar went out, I'll guarantee, is because it was so inconvenient.
Well, I will tell you, we do have a short memory in a way. And I remember when I lived on that side of town, which has been quite a while ago now. It's been well over, 15 years ago. But when I lived...
You're telling your age here, Scott.
I know. Well, I was a child when I lived over here. But
kindergarten or something.
Well, and also, when the radio station was down in the mall, which also now has been close to a decade ago, you know, we used to frequent a lot of the places out here on Delaware Avenue that normally, you know, I would not go to because I live on the other side of town. And pulling out of that Wendy's on Delaware Avenue was probably one of the most hazardous places you could have pulled out of. So I do understand probably most likely what they're saying, but I think that was more of the fact that the way they had the traffic lights set up there was, you think you could have timed them a little different. It was very, very difficult. It was very easy to go out into the right, because that was a, the lane you were pulling into. But if you want, like, if
turn right on,
right. But if I wanted to go back to the mall where the radio station was, if I wanted to go left, that was very difficult to get out of there.
You think it's any worse, any better now?
Well, now I don't think you can go left.
For with the light.
Right, and I think maybe that's what their idea was, to stop people from turning out of there and going left. Because I never got hit there, thank God, but it was treacherous. I mean, and you wouldn't think on Delaware Avenue that it would be so bad, but it was. It was very, very difficult to get out of there and go left. And the people who, a lot of us would just go right, and then we'd pull into Walgreens and, you know, pop out back over by the mall.
Well, but that's to go to Family Dollar. You, if you were coming from the west, you'd either have to go into Kroger's and turn around and come back, or just remember when you come down Delaware Avenue or, you know, there, to come in the other way. So like I said, I had to decide before I left home if I was going to Wendy's or if I was going to McDonald's.
Well, I think because Wendy's must be the place, because on 95, Wendy's is also kind of treacherous to get out of.
That's a biggie, too.
That's a big one, too. But I think they have timed the lights there because of the traffic, because it does take a minute sometimes if you want to go left out of there. Again, turning right is much easier. But if you want to go left, if you wait a good, depending on when you get out of Wendy's, if you wait a good 2 to 3 minutes, there is going to be an opening for you to get out. It's just people have no patience.
Well, and then there's a lot of good people will stop and let you out.
Yes, you know? Yes.
Yeah. Well, and that's like really the light there at the hospital and or right there at the park. Now, I think the timing of the lights when there's a state route going through, because if I come up to the hospital to turn left, boy, if you get there just when that light turned red there for a while, it seems like lots longer. In the same way, if you're going out any Delaware Avenue past the hospital and down, because that's also a state route.
You know,
it seems like you have to, they timed it, so you, if you get a red light, that you sit there longer.
Well, and I think they had to do that with Wendy's on 95, because every so often I'll go through there and get a drink coming here on a Friday night. And Friday night, Route 95 is very busy between 5 and 7 p.m., And I can always get out of there. Now, like I say, sometimes you got to wait 3 minutes for the lights to, you know, coincide up with each other. But if you wait long enough, there is an opening where you can get out of there. And
we're all in such a big hurry. We don't know why we're in a hurry, but we're all in such a big hurry.
We're all isn't that the truth?
I do think that if you ever notice, if it's a light, that there's a state route. It takes long. You have to wait longer for it to turn.
Well, I think that was the problem out here on Delaware Avenue is, or at least they had not fixed it when I was there. They're really the light between, because there's a light on Barks, and then there's a light not too far past Wendy's, and there's such a little amount of space there. I mean, what is it? Probably 30 feet, 40 feet, maybe. And so if you're trying to pull out, if you got people trying to pull out of Arby's and go left, and you've got people trying to pull out of Wendy's and go left, and you do have a lot of traffic coming from Kroger in that area that's coming from the right, coming from the south, you know, that was treacherous. And I think the lights were just too close together. And
the timing of them wasn't good.
It was bad.
Yeah, I don't know if they ever change the timing, whatever. I'm never in such a big hurry, ever, anyway. But then you see how many people fly down through there so they get through the light before it changes. And that's certainly something to deal with, you know, because everybody's in a hurry. They don't know why they're in a hurry, but everybody's in a hurry.
Everybody's in a hurry. Hey, I got to ask you, though, while we got you on the line here, how do you feel about your new council person?
I have mixed emotions. Nothing against the guy, because he's probably got some good ideas, but when he was picked by the mayor is why how many times is he going to go against the mayor?
Well, that's a good question. If he sees the mayor as a mentor, which is kind of how that came off,
right?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Time will tell. Hey, Scott. Hey, just get a hold of that convention or the Visitors Bureau, and maybe either she can come on or something.
Yeah, I'll see if I can get her on maybe before Memorial Day or right after so she can highlight some of these events.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, the phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We always enjoy hearing from people out there in the listening audience. But that's the rundown of businesses, I guess, coming, going, why things happened, so on and so forth, in the Marion area. And sounds like a lot of good things being planned for the 250th anniversary of the country here in Marion. That's a good thing. I certainly don't think that's a negative in any way. And there probably are a lot of people who have mixed emotions about Nathan Stevenson, the new 4th Ward City Councilman, possibly because of his association with the mayor. I don't know. We'll see how that all shakes out in the weeks to come, and I think that will tell a tale. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Hello, Scott. I wanted to just piggyback on my fellow 4th Ward residents' concerns about the mayor hand selecting our council member.
Yes.
And I'm glad I'm not the only one that has those concerns. When you interviewed him yesterday, I went back and listened again because I had missed the beginning of it. He talks about how transparent and everything is that Collins is, and I can't help but think that I keep wanting to call him a kid, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, just that I'm almost old enough to be his mom. Not quite, but almost. I wonder how much attention the young man has been paying to things if he thinks that Bill Collins is transparent.
Well, it's interesting to me, and I think he said it in the interview, that he put in his note intention to want to be on council, that he despised politics. So, you know, that's...
Well, he just dropped himself in the den of vipers, didn't he?
Well, but I guess, I think his explanation was, if I remember right from the interview, was essentially, but then he thought, well, if not him, what's he going to do, sit on the side and complain and not get involved? So I think
He's been sitting it out for the past 2 years or so.
Right. But I think that's, you know, maybe it's come to that time. I don't know.
And good. I hope he is a free thinker. However, when you're talking about Bill Collins and transparency, I have to wonder if you know what the word transparent means or if he really is that far removed from politics that he has no clue what's going on.
Well, here would be my guess, because I've never seen him at a city council meeting. And I've never seen him in a committee meeting. It's a little different to get the stuff you read and the stuff you hear than it is to be in the room.
Yeah.
And now he's going to be in the room. So he is going to have a very good handle on exactly what is going on and what he feels. Because I certainly don't get the impression that he has a lack of opinion. So I think that could possibly change things. I did not get the impression, and obviously I was not with him long, but I certainly didn't get the impression that he was somebody who somebody's going to say, vote this way even though you don't feel that way, and that's what he's going to do.
I want to push back on that a little, simply for the fact that he voted on stuff Monday night that he had absolutely no clue what he was voting on.
Well, that's true,
so,
but...
I'm not so sure that his vote can't be swayed.
Maybe, but I...
Also, I wanted to point out that when they changed the appointment from number 9 to number 1, that's not something that Mary can just decree happens. That needs to be voted on. So when they're learning their Robert's Rules of Order, whether they're, you know, they're telling us we need to learn the rules of decorum, etc., they might want to learn the Robert's Rules of Order. Because what I'm going to start doing is I'm going to get me a little notebook. Between ChatGPT and I, I'm just going to start filing cases on them. And every time they do something like that, that might be a $1,000 check in my pocket. But you know what? It'll put them on notice. See, I've got my, there's a lady named Vicky Lynn Dyshon or whatever. She was on city council in Bucyrus for a little while, but she was their law clerk. And they wouldn't listen to her. Like, she would be like, hey, we need to do this way. We need to vote on this. We need to do that. You need to give these kind of notices for these kind of meetings. They wouldn't listen to her. So she just started suing them every time they didn't do something right. I think Vicky Lynn's made $75,000 to $80,000 off the city of Bucyrus and about 10 different lawsuits. So between ChatGPT and I, you know, they want everybody to follow the rules. All right, the only way we have to enforce the rules against them is through court. So between ChatGPT and I, we're just going to make their lives absolutely miserable and do filing after filing when they don't follow the rules.
You
That's
know
the
what?
Only method we have. That's the only method we have. They're willing to throw us out and have us arrested and everything else. The only method we have to keep them under control is the courts.
You know what? I don't understand.
We'll do it.
Well, what I don't understand what the whole thing is why there is such a... You know, if I told my little newspaper story earlier on this morning.
What quote did you steal from him?
I'm not honest.
Your non-subscription.
Well, okay, here, and I really did not mean to mention them this morning, but I just thought it was an odd thing because I attend the meeting.
Did the editor contact you?
No, it wasn't the editor. I'm not even sure who this person was. I don't know who they were.
The editor has contacted me before.
No, I don't think it was the editor. Maybe, I don't know.
I told him I'll do what I want to with my subscription.
Well, here's what happened. Because it went into my spam folder, so I'm lucky I even saw it. But basically, it wasn't a rude email. It was just basically saying that... There was this, it didn't even tell me what the quote was. It just said, it linked an article. And it said that I had taken that quote from the person who wrote the article. And I thought, what? I mean,
see, I would have responded back and said, ha ha, joke's on you. I've never read that article.
Well, that was I responded because I went to the link, which is a link to my own page, you know, our own page here, our social media page. I went to the article and I'm reading through the article, and it's an article that I wrote right after a city council meeting because we usually get those up.
Now hear me out. You might have been there and heard the exact same thing at the exact same time.
Well, that's what I think. That's what I told him. I responded and said, listen, I understand what you're saying, and I think I know what quote you're talking about, because we don't quote exactly very often. And I said, well, we do quote exactly, but there's no way that could be printed. Because
you're not quote heavy is what you're saying.
Yeah, we're not quote heavy. Whereas
a
newspaper would be.
If it was a quote, then you got it from someone.
Right. So I responded back, and I said... I understand. I think I know what quote you're talking about. And if it isn't this quote, tell me what quote you're talking about. But I really don't know what you're talking about because I don't have a subscription. I couldn't read it anyway. And I understand you're not asking me to take it down. You're just asking me to link the article that it came from. But I can't link the article because I don't have a subscription. And I said, I can't do that, so, what do you want me to do?
I don't even remember you even having ever referenced them or...
And if I did, I would give them credit for it. So it was interesting to me. I guess the two things I took away from that was that Abby is clearly reading the work that we do, which nothing wrong with that, but apparently got hot about something enough to contact the editor, because I can't believe the editor came across that and said, blah, 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 blah. I found that a little odd. And, you know, she had been a little chilly the last few times I'd seen her, so maybe that's what it was. I don't know.
I don't know how you think someone... I mean, I don't dislike Abby. I don't know how you could think someone could steal a quote from you, though, if you're sitting in the same room and hearing it at the same time.
Well, that's it. If I had completely lifted it right out of the Marion Star, but I think,
right did a cut and paste. But I mean, your story was probably up before hers.
Well, right, but I also think here's what because I don't want to blame this on her because I don't think it is to be blamed on her. But I think what happened. Well, here's what I believe now that I look because I have not heard back from them, so maybe. I don't know. I don't even know what quote it is, to be honest. So I guess the point ends up being that I think what happened was I've been given things by political parties that I have used, but you usually don't say that it came from the political party because it's pretty obvious that it did. And maybe they used something twice.
I was going to say, is it possible that you both received the same information from same political party?
That could be. Or they might have, and again, because I don't have a subscription, they might have taken something from an article in the Star and not given them credit, and in a press release to other people that in there. And so that could have happened. And again,
so someone else plagiarized her and you ended up with it by default.
Well, I guess because we're another news organization, and I understand that. I get what they're saying, but I can't link the article, and I wouldn't have seen it anyway because I don't have a subscription. So I don't know what to say. Now, one of our listeners out there this morning is saying plagiarism. Well, this person has worked in the media, had it happen often, sometimes with credit and sometimes without. And yes, plagiarism is not good. I don't think
no.
plagiarism is a good thing. And so, you know, I'm not, I'm just saying,
but
I did not read the article.
If you didn't actually read the article, you can't plagiarize somebody's work that you haven't read.
Right, and what was funny about this is that...
And I believe that she would give... I believe that you would give credit if you got a quote from somewhere
else. Well, sure.
You would say found in the Marion Star
or
something like that.
It's not very hard to put from the Marion Star. That's all you got to do. But
or a quote obtained by the Marion Star.
But
we have to do those things.
Right, but the thing about this particular incident was... This was so far in the weeds of, and again, I'm not even sure, I guess I'll find out at some point if it's exactly what they were talking about, but the quote I think they were talking about was not even a direct quote. I mean, it's like 3 or 4 words, and it's so far in the story, it really didn't mean anything to the story. So the fact that
was this recently or was this a while ago?
It's not been recent, no.
Okay,
no, but I think maybe they just stumbled upon it or something.
Okay, I was wondering, because I'm wondering if we got our messages, our nasty grams, around the same time. And mine was around when Abby started. And I don't know if she was trying to establish a footprint or what it was. And mine was I had taken some screenshots of one of the articles and posted them because it was an important story, and I can't remember what it was, but it was important. And because it was, of course, it was behind a paywall. And I had taken some screenshots. I didn't post the whole article, but I posted the meat of it, you know, maybe like 3 screenshots of the really important part of the article, and I posted it. And the editor sent me a message and asked me not to do that anymore. That the journalists made money, which I know how journalists make money, you know, clicks, I get that. But if no one can open it, are you making any money off of it? And
well,
maybe if someone reads, like, those 3 screenshots, they might be like, maybe I need a subscription to this so I can read this for myself and don't need to go to someone else's Facebook page to read this.
Well, this is why this was confounding to me. Because
but I didn't credit that as my work, though, Scott. I mean, I left it totally. That was Marion Star, but you guys need to read this.
Right. But this is what confuses me about the incident that I had. They're not saying that the news story that we did was plagiarized. They're saying that there's one quote in that article. And they didn't even use the term plagiarism. They just said it was attributed to one of our staff members. So it wasn't, it was one...
Well, I wasn't accusing you of plagiarism. I was saying that someone else might have lifted something directly from a Marion Star article and passed it along to you in a press release.
Right, no, but I guess what I'm saying is in the midst of this article, which was a substantially long news story, 95% of it clearly did not come from anywhere else but our reporting. And you would have had to have already clicked on that article. article. It wasn't like it was the opening sentence. You would have already have had to click on our article to get that one bit of information, because you would have had to have read down about 75% of the page. So
the article that was free to read, and their article that costs money to read that no one will read.
Right. So again, I don't even understand how it hurts their paywall, because,
well, you know what, I told her, I said, my hope is that people will come back to your page and comment, and maybe you can get paid for the clicks. And then I told her it was my subscription, and I was going to do whatever I wanted with it, and she should be grateful that people were still willing to subscribe to her paper. That was before Abby had really gotten established.
Well, I think one of the problems as of late, if you've noticed, is she hasn't been attending city council regularly. And I think what is happening is that, and I'm not even saying this was a city council story, because really it wasn't, but I think she hasn't been attending them, and I think she feels that we're cutting off her reporting, because like Monday night's meeting, if there's a story in the Marion Star about what happened Monday night, it's because she watched the video, because she wasn't there.
I was going to say, she wasn't there. I was like, she wasn't even there Monday.
Right. So, I think there's a little bitterness there, maybe, in the fact that we are the only media outlet that's actually in the room, so we can interview the new city councilman afterwards. You can't do that if you're not there. You can
right.
only quote what happened in the meeting, what you saw on the Facebook page. So I think that's what's happening to us. Again, I can't speak for her, but I think that's what's happening, and I think she feels that that's taking away from her reporting, because this is what people are reading now, local content that they can't get anywhere else. And so there you have it. And I think that's probably what this has to do with than anything else. But again, I don't think this is her fault. And we certainly didn't do it purposely if it did happen. So, you know, whatever.
And the reason why I went to that, because I was thinking about the Marion Star, what I read today. They're building some senior housing out on University Drive. I believe that's what's going in out there. They had a hullabaloo the other day. I happened to be driving past before it started and saw all the chairs set up and everything. But they're so that's a good thing. Some affordable senior housing is going out on University Drive. But the past few days, you've been running down the list of all the things that are coming or have came to Marion. And please, I am not trying to take anything away from those who work in restaurants. I did it for 20 years, so it is a career. I'm not saying it is not a career. But those are not the type of jobs that towns need to grow. We need higher paying manufacturing jobs or healthcare jobs, or we need more than $12 to $15 an hour, and some of them pay more than that. But we need jobs with healthcare. We need jobs with retirement plans. We need jobs that people look at and go, I can raise my family on that, instead of I can work that as a second job, or I can do this to get by, or that's a high schooler's job. We need careers. And, you know, the things that we're getting, it's good. We're getting a Jet's Pizza, man. I'm stoked about that. Or that's the rumor anyway. It's supposed to be going out by Home Goods. But, like, where's the big development? Who's going to employ 100 or 200 people? I'm helping my son plan his future. He's getting ready to start Tri Rivers, and he wants to drive heavy equipment. We're looking around the state and looking at these different programs and stuff. At 25, 26 years old, the kid's going to be making $60, $70 an hour if he plays his cards right. You know where he's not staying? He's not staying in Marion, Ohio. Like, what can we do to solve that problem? Frozen custard isn't going to do it. Another restaurant isn't going to do it. What can we do to make Marion more appealing?
Well, this is a conversation, oddly enough, that I had with somebody recently about the city's financial problems. One of the issues is we're raising rates on certain things, and not to say that that didn't need to be done, but what has been created that's a revenue generator for the city? Because that's really where innovation comes in. And I don't know that any great revenue generators have been created.
We would need jobs inside the city to create revenue inside the city, other than raising our fees and our taxes that they can control, which they've already done. They don't have, the only way the government can generate revenue is through fees or through taxes. So the only way we can raise more money is to expand our tax base. We're building everything outside of the city. We've got a couple new restaurants coming downtown, but I mean, what, we're going to employ, what, maybe 30 more people in the city? Big deal. I'm not saying that we don't need 30 jobs, but those aren't going to be 30 high-paying jobs. The city's going to get 2% of their income tax off of it. That's it.
I don't know. It just seems like there's something systemically wrong at this point. And I also have to say that I think the people down there are trying their best at this point. I don't think anybody wants to be under the gun from the state, but I think what has happened is a problem has arisen, and I'm not sure that anybody has a really good solution. And that's troubling.
I'm not sure the people that we have are equipped to come up with the solution. Someone somewhere has a solution. It's just not us.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, towns have been through worse, Scott, and they've rebounded.
Oh, they certainly have. I guess I just think we are in a very interesting place right now. And God knows I don't even want to hardly eke this out of my mouth. But, you know, last December, we went through the water thing. Now, how much time, and I don't know that other communities do that in the way that Marion does that. And I hate to say that because obviously I live here, and obviously I do care about what happens here and what people go through here. But the way that Marion was so quick to call the Columbus News and drag them down here, just that was, you know, we were all being poisoned like Flint, Michigan, and so on and so forth. And nobody had a bit of evidence to show that was true. But we had to go through that. And Aqua was giving logical answers. Although it's not like they were clamming up and not talking.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I also, you know, my distrust for the government. And then they politicized it is what they did. Ray Grogan was having an exceptionally tough time then, I think, and he needed to politicize something, so he went for the water.
Yeah, but the water's been fine for quite a while now. Why aren't people saying that?
Because that's not interesting.
Right. But that's where we are. And that's the problem. And you can't do stuff like
that. Fear is easy to sell. Fear sells itself.
Yeah, but God.
All you got to do is just get it out there.
Yeah, but we're whipping people up for no good reason. Now, is everybody who accused Aqua of doing nefarious things and lying and poisoning everybody, have they come back and apologized? Or have they come back and shown this great evidence that they had that something terrible was going on? Because it did do a lot of damage to the community's image. In a time when we did not need.
Do you have city water?
I think it does come from the city. Yeah. It's not like well water.
I mean, it's possible that you. No, it's possible for you to have city water. I didn't know if you were in on that or not. Because I didn't know if you got the mornings that you would wake up and it smelled like you were stepping into a swimming pool as soon as you turned a very freshly treated swimming pool. And I'm not saying that they were trying to poison us, but it would have been nice to have had an education that maybe you shouldn't do laundry today. You know, I do know in my area, because Aqua has been over here as recently as last week, they're checking our water lines over here because Marion does have a very high concentration of lead and galvanized steel water lines.
Yeah. And I'm not saying these are not issues. I'm just saying one day we all woke up and the water stunk, and immediately everybody went to the worst, and there was no evidence to prove that. And if you said that, you were kind of poo-pooed. And, you know, that's, I don't know why that's done. I don't know, clicks, I guess, now? I mean, is that the world we live in? It was fun to share that stuff, I guess.
I mean, you go back to, we'll bring religion into it for a minute. People used religion, ancient people used religion to explain the things that they didn't understand. And they did that to help make themselves less fearful. you know, they didn't realize that the world was spinning around the sun. They thought there was some God or something that made it happen every day. And I'm not saying that if you believe that, okay, that's fine. But we also know there's a scientific basis to it now. But they did that to make themselves feel better, you know, to assuage their fears and that sort of thing. And it turned into a religion and people to worship and a way to protect themselves. So we've always been afraid of things we can't understand. And when it starts coming out of your tap, and everybody automatically has this distrust for Aqua because they're the man, you know, the big powerful utility companies. But these utility companies have screwed people over around the United States, so we tend not to believe them.
Yeah, but
our leadership stepping up would have been a good thing instead of Ray Grogan firing off a video. That would have been more of what the community needed.
Yeah, but you know, council people did say something about this, and they did say they wanted something done, and everybody, the water's awful, and so on and so forth. Well, what was ever done? What was ever done?
They talked about it.
They talked about it. So, you know, again, I have to wonder, you know.
But now this is ironic because we have a legitimate possible source of contamination down the street from me where 6,000 tires sat and were rained on and leached into the ground and everything else. That's an actual possible, I'm not saying it is, but it's a possible source of contamination. Eh, we'll figure it out.
Well, it just to me, clearly now.
Perplexing.
Well, you know, Monday night, I was sitting there at the end of the meeting when Ralph Smith made his little speech about getting information.
For Operation Mary Watchman, I guess no one told him that Jason Foreman had sex with a 13-year-old, did they?
Well,
we don't really consider him a news source anymore.
Well, I just felt bad because, I mean, there were people laughing.
People behind me snickered. Yes, I didn't. I looked up from my phone because I take notes. I didn't have a notepad. I was taking notes. I looked up from my phone when I heard people snicker.
Yeah, I mean, they were laughing. And I don't think that's Ralph's fault. And I hate to see anybody get laughed at like that. But, you know,
I'm sorry. That man deserves what he gets. He's sitting up there quoting a rule from 1968 because he's arguing that they should have the right to put a Republican in that seat. They ended up putting a Republican anyway. But he is demanding that a Republican be placed in that seat. And he's quoting rules from 1968. And the council back then thought it was important enough to make a rule. Well, the council rule that they're changing about speaking is also one of those council rules from 1968.
You know, 68 must have been a year. I'm starting to wonder? 68 was the year, because national events do matter. 68, Bobby Kennedy was killed. Martin Luther King Jr. was killed. That was the year of the Democratic Convention where Chicago was almost burned down. You know, I'm starting to wonder if...
Maybe we should go back and see the history of Mary and what was going on in 68.
Well, I mean, you...
Must have been a good year for Ralph Smith, because he sure keeps referencing it.
Well, all I'm saying, it's kind of interesting to me in two weeks...
60 years later, do you realize that?
Well, all these policies that are being changed, you know, a lot, they all go back to 1 year? You know,
It's the year that Ralph Smith seems to have done quite a bit of research on. I really want to know what went on in 68.
Well,
did he come back from Nam then, or is that when he left?
No,
I'm not
no.
being sarcastic. I know he was in Vietnam.
No, but I'm just saying that is the year that a lot of journalists will say that the United States had a nervous breakdown. I mean, you had Martin Luther King killed in Memphis. You had Bobby Kennedy, who was running for president, killed in California, shot in cold blood.
That's all civil rights related, too.
I believe the Watts riots were in that era.
Civil rights related.
Yeah, you had that summer just over in Chicago. They about burned down the city at the Democratic Convention. So, you know, this is all 1968. Well, maybe that's why that council was making these rules in 1968.
I can't help but think that Marion would have been super Republican back then, and maybe this was to stifle the dissenters, because you have a lot of protests, Vietnam protests and such going on. I'm going to go look and see what was going on in Marion.
Well, you also have to remember, 1968, there is no cable television. 1968, right. The Star is still very big. Radio
would be doing sit-ins and protests and going to City Hall and ranting and raving if you wanted to make
Right. You had 4, 6, and 10, and you had evening news, and you had WMRN.
That's if you even had a TV, you had those things.
Right,
if
and
you didn't
I think
TV, you didn't have those things.
No, and I think people don't realize that stuff was going on here as well. National stories have always been a big.
Are we looking at like the squelching of dissent, and that's what old Ralph Smith is going back to, the rules from 68?
Well, there could have been problems that, I mean, maybe people were coming to city council and going on for, and maybe these meetings were going on into the night, and maybe that's why these rules were made. Or maybe they lift, isn't 68 the year they say they lifted all the rules for?
No, Danny Clark said that 68 is the year that they decided we didn't have the right to speak anymore.
Well, maybe there's a reason for that. Because there was a lot going on in the world in 1968, and somebody should have, because this sounds like a women's club piano story to me, and I'm just going to talk real quick here, because I'll run out of time, but okay, and what's done is done now, but when the women's club had President Harding's piano for years and years and years, and nobody even knew they had it, it was the piano that he played at the White House. It was in the Barlow home. People didn't go in the Barlow home for the most part during a lot of those years because all events were held in the auditorium over there. But there was a plaque on that piano that said this was President Harding's piano that he played in the White House. So nobody ever talked about it. Nobody ever. And it got, when they were building this museum over here a few years ago, the Harding Museum, all of a sudden the Harding group said, oh, well, now, wait a second. That is over there. And actually, we just loaned that to them because we didn't have the room to store it back in those days. So I went and looked because there was an article written about that piano at that time. And it was gifted to the Barlows in the women's club home. It was not on loan. It was.
I was going to try to do a give back, a take back.
Well, they did.
100 years later.
They did. They did take
they
it
did
back.
They did take it back?
Yes, and the women's club went along with it because they. Nope. Who was there? You know, who was there in 2015
right.
and 16 when that piano was given in the 50s? Nobody was there. But if you went and found that article, and I went and looked up the article, because I was just curious, because I couldn't believe, I mean, who's going to come over there to see a piano, you know?
Right,
that's
right.
That's
it's not a museum. I mean, you loan things to a museum. You don't loan things to...
Right, and there is nowhere in that article where it says anything about a loan. So sometimes you do have to go back in the newspaper archives here to find out exactly what was going on at that time and why
loaned
something
and gifted
was
are two different things in the museum world, because I know you were getting off here, but you loan something, the family can call it back. You gift something, that means it's forever.
Well, and the Barlows were longtime friends of the Hardings, and this would have been less than 30 years after his death, so I'm guessing that was probably the reason. So,
interesting stuff. I guess I got some Googling to do.
Well, yeah. Check the Marion Star Archives from 1968 and see what was going on at city council meetings, because I bet you're going to find out around the time of the assassination of Martin Luther King in April, Bobby Kennedy's assassination in August, you're going to find out the Democratic Convention, I believe, was in July or August that year.
Yeah, it was a bad.
I think you're going to find that things were going on at city council that were rather unusual. Which is probably why those rules went up in 1968.
Well, thanks for making that connection, because now I have something interesting to do today.
Well, fill us in tomorrow.
I will. Take care, Scott.
Hey, we're done. All right. It's been great to have you with us today. Scott Spears for This Day, heading for the dugout. Radio. Telephone number 220-666-0956. Email info.